guys, this is Maggie. I just want to remind you that, one, there will be spoilers in this episode, and number two, this is part two of our Children of Men episode, so please check out part one before you listen to this one. Thanks.
I don't know, when I was watching this movie, I just felt, the first time I watched it, I was like, oh my god, when will this horror end? Kind of a feeling. Mm-hmm. But the second time I watched it, I was like, it all feels a little bit too fast paced.
You mean like the movie itself or Julian's death?
The development of everything.
Yeah. Well,
but like the first time I watched it, I was like, I couldn't wait for things to be over because I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so tense and scary. Mm-hmm. And like, please let them escape. Please let them do this. I was also like, I just went with it the first time. Second time I watched it, I was like, wow, this is actually really fast paced. Everything happens very, very quickly.
I guess the way that I was thinking about it is, again, I'm very, like, plot forward. And so as soon as they start introducing and they start getting all these balls rolling, you kind of know where it's going because we have certain expectations as an audience. So
sure.
We know that Theo's going to accompany Key, and you know it's probably going to just be, like, the two of them at some point.
And it
happens. Right, of course. So, like, I'm not saying that I was looking forward to each of these kind of expected plot developments, but it was, like, as each one moved through, it was, like, a little check in my book, you know? And so, like,
yeah,
because fundamentally, even though it takes place in a very strange world, the way that it kind of grounds the audience is a very familiar story. You know, like, this, I mean, even if you just go back to the idea of a journey, it's just, it's a simplistic story that everyone knows, so it's a good way to just kind of mix our expectations with what, like, a very unfamiliar world.
Right,
it gives
right.
you kind of a lens to look at things. So, because we're all, I mean, that's what sci-fi is, you know? But because I kind of knew the direction it was going in, maybe because I've only seen it once, it didn't feel, like, fast to me. Because
it's because, I think it's mainly because it was second time watching.
Yeah,
because,
like,
and I already knew what was going to happen. I was, like, filled with dread.
Yeah.
Like, watching it, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is going to be so upsetting and scary like it was the first time.
Because, like, you know kind of what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So, waiting for it to happen, it's just kind of annoying.
Yeah, sure. I understand from a first time person, like, you don't want it to drag on forever. I don't know, like, I liked when they finally get to the farm, I really liked, like, the feel of, like, the fishes as the resistance, even though they have their own political games and stuff going on and are a little bit unscrupulous. Like, it felt so much more like a resistance than, like, say, like, a Star Wars resistance. It just felt like these people are actually struggling to, like, live and stuff. Like, sorry. No offense to Star Wars or anything. But, you know, do you know what I mean?
I was, like, actually going to bring that up. And that example of Star Wars, actually. Because you're completely correct. It was very frustrating for me. Because I kind of thought that they were going to get a lot more help from this resistance. And so when it was very obvious that they weren't going to, it was kind of annoying. Because,
oh, because you wanted to see them, like, go on a rollicking adventure.
Not exactly, but a little bit. Because it felt like Theo had enemies everywhere. That, like, in this desperate situation, everyone is still infighting. Which is very, which is a frustrating view of humanity, even if it is somewhat accurate.
I think it's very real.
Oh, it's, yeah, that's what I mean. It is, it's accurate, but it's frustrating.
Yeah. And everyone's trying to use this baby for, like, political gain, and it's, like,
I'm like, guys, horrifying. Guys, you haven't had a baby in forever. Like, come on. Calm yourself.
Yeah, can we not make this, like, the second coming of the Messiah or something? Like, please. Like, just figure out the cure so we can move on and, like, fix what's wrong with the world.
Yeah, it just, ugh. Yeah. I mean, that does bring up a point, an interesting point, perhaps, whether perhaps a woman has gotten pregnant in the past 18 plus years.
Oh, yeah.
And has, you know, for whatever reason, remained hidden or lost
or
the baby because of political issues or whatever.
Yeah, I definitely believe that. Like, seeing how difficult it was to get Key to the shoreline, I was like, there were probably others like her that just didn't.
Right.
Because it was so insane, like, the journey that she had to go through.
Yeah, like, it was so easy.
How did she survive?
For her to have, like, died before she gave birth, like.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, like, all these people pointing guns at everyone else, and, like, oh, gosh. But, yeah, I mean, definitely, like, the whole transitioning from lighthearted to like, a lot darker turn in the movie, like, after Julian dies. Like, literally, the sun goes out. That's, like, a classic movie. Like, the sun literally goes out, and they're driving in the rain, and everything's horrible, yep. And everyone's crying. And it's just, like, oh, dear.
Yeah.
This is not... And, you know, like, that scene, again, where Julian is killed, it is a long shot. Mm-hmm. I've heard various stories about how that worked. Some people are saying that they had, like, the top of the car off, and they had this crazy crane contraption thing with the camera swinging on it. So, because, you know, it, like, it goes from, like, a front view of what's happening in front of the car to swinging around to, like,
mm-hmm, yeah.
You know, her bleeding, and everyone's freaking out. Like, it's all, like, one shot. Allegedly. Some people say that there was some kind of contraption. Other people are like, there's no way you could, like, just, like, the physics of it, they had to have stitched scenes together.
Yeah, I believe that. Because
there's a way you can do that. Yeah, I think it was more, I think they did long shots, but they did have to stitch it together, because there's some stuff where it's, like, the angle doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Like, where the camera would physically be, like, they had to have, like, kind of stitched the shots together to make it look like it's one
right.
big, long shot. But it's still, I still thought it was very technically impressive.
Oh, yeah. And very,
like, emotionally, like, you're just, like, stunned. And the way it was shot, I think it's because of that whole long shot documentary feel. It felt a lot like, kind of like a first-person shooter video game to me.
Oh.
Do you know what I mean? That's how I felt a lot of times when I first watched it. It's like, you
That's
are
That's actually really good, yeah.
Avatar kind of state where you're shooting enemies and reacting and running around, but, like, you can't... Like all this stuff is happening and you can't escape it. You can't look away. The camera never looks away. Like, you're forced to, like, look
right,
at the
viewpoint.
Right. Do you see what I mean? Like, just, especially when, and I'm sure there was some CGI-ery involved, but especially when the motorcyclists, like, come out of nowhere. And so right after the burning car, like, it's in front of the car that they're driving, and they're backing away, and then you see all these people rushing out, and then you see, like, people on motorcycles coming at them, like, it just felt so video game to me, but, like, it was a good thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you see what I mean?
No, yeah, I can definitely see that.
It's kind of like a first-person shooter type thing. And it's just, I think the long shot and, like, really helped with that feeling. But, yeah, it's not like Theo's ever really shooting anyone. The most he does is, like, throw a rock at that guy's head. But, like, it was very, like... Yeah, it just felt very, like, Call of Duty to me or something. But yeah, like, once Julian's dead, it's like, Theo's protector is gone. Like, he is just, they're like, yep, we're gonna kill him. Let's do this thing.
Yep, easy peasy.
And thankfully, because he's not completely naive and, you know, has been in an organization like this before. I don't know if he was in the Fishes before, but he was in something like it, right?
Right. Like he was, like, an activist. So,
yeah, he, like, knows not to trust these people.
They all have their own, you know, goals and whatever.
Yeah.
It's not a very good look at humanity.
Yeah, no.
I mean, it has its moments.
I mean, yeah, the fact that Theo's actually helping her get to the shore and then, like, I keep wanting to call her Maritza, but that's the woman in Orange is the New Black. Marichka is, you know, helping them and so on. Like, there's definitely people who are good in this movie, but it doesn't seem like it's a very, it doesn't seem that there's that many good people in this world. So we go to the barn, right? And it's very, it is so, like, Christian imagery.
Yeah, like, super duper.
There's a manger, someone's given birth, and then there's a later, like, they joke about it being a virgin birth. I was like, haha.
Very funny, very funny. Move along.
See what you're doing. You say move along.
Yeah.
Move along. Okay, this is a shot I was talking about. So there's a shot in the cafe where everyone's looking at the TV screen. We can't see the TV behind them, but the main thing is people looking at something and reacting, right? The other shot that I wrote down in my notes was Theo's looking at Key, but we don't know what he's looking at first.
Unless you saw the trailer.
I mean, we can guess. Yeah, from what I heard, the trailer spoiled this thing massively. So,
So I didn't watch the trailer, but I knew kind of what it was about from you. So I did know that she was Brego. She had a bun in the oven and whatnot. But I did watch the trailer yesterday to kind of refresh myself on the movie. And yeah, the trailer gives away like everything. So
I hate movies like that. I just stop.
That's horrible. Like, it's just a waste.
Yeah, like, the whole thing, we're like, why is it important that we bring this girl to the shore? Like, why is that important, right?
Yeah.
And then we finally find out, I mean, I guess when you're just, like, when he first comes in and she starts, like, taking her shirt, you're like, what? What is going on? And, like, we're, like, also in Theo, we're like, stop, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing? And then all is clear. But yeah, that was just, like, I don't know, I thought that scene was very well done. And I'm glad that she took the initiative to be like, you know, Julian told me the only person I can trust is you, not to trust anyone else.
I don't think that reflects very well on Julian's organization.
I think Julian is aware that people want to use this baby for political purposes.
Yeah, but this is, like, her group. Like, she's the leader, and they overthrew her. So Luke could be the leader. Like,
well, maybe that's it. Like, they overthrew her because they knew that she didn't want the baby to be exploited. I don't know. We never really get into the nitty gritty of that.
Yeah, but I don't know. Like, I still don't really understand why Key trusts Julian absolutely.
Yeah, I guess we never really get a explanation.
Because, like, she trusts Julian absolutely, so that means that she trusts Theo by extension.
Well, I think we know that she doesn't trust the fishes because they literally say, we're going to take away your baby. And she's like, I did not agree to that. I think that's where we get the mistrust of the fishes leads to, well, the only, like, the original plan was to do this.
Yeah.
Julian supported the original plan. Theo's going to help me. That's all I can really rely on because the fishes have changed their plans.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how I saw it.
Yeah.
You could explain it in a myriad of ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, like, we know that they're going to kill Theo.
Yeah, they're going to kill Theo. They're going to use the baby as a political tool.
So they have their very, very tense, like, escape the farm.
That was gorgeous. I loved that, like, sequence.
Yeah.
It was so good.
A lot of people hate on it because they're like, how did it go from dead of night to, like, sun is rising in, like, the whole span of that one scene? I'm like, whatever, man. I didn't care about where the sun was positioned.
Yeah, I don't care. Like, it's, like, symbolic and crap.
I was invested in, like, them escaping because it was so scary.
It just, and like, it worked so well. Like, I loved, like, the way they were sneaking around and, like, just the way everything was, like, shot. And just, it just, you felt like you were with them. It was just...
Oh, yeah. I was like, you just feel like you're also creeping around trying to get out of that place. Yeah, and I just thought it was so... Like, the whole sound of all these animals waking up and crowing. And I know I brought that up earlier, but, like, it just added to the tension. You're like, oh, my God, stupid rooster, shut up! And, like... I don't know. I mean, it was a little bit funny to me that they couldn't catch up with the car. I mean, you're definitely scared. You're like, oh my gosh, what if they catch up to them? And, like, Theo does this little trick where he, like, uses the car door again on, like, the same person again. Because wasn't it literally the same person he hit with the car door earlier? Like, it was Charlie Hunnam's character, Patrick or whatever.
Yeah.
I was just like, bro, you fell for that once. You're gonna fall for it. He just takes the car door to slams it on. It's so hilarious. Like, oh my gosh. And then the whole tension once we end up at the safe house where Jasper is. And, like, we see the box of quietus and we kind of... I think at this point you kind of have maybe some idea of what it could be. And, like, everyone's looks like they're dead. And it's like, oh no, what's... Did they commit suicide? But no, no. Of course they didn't because Jasper...
Don't worry, that's coming.
Isn't... Yeah, it's coming later. But yeah, it was like, did I wrote down? I wrote down reverse prison break, but I don't know what that means.
Well, that's later, isn't it?
Is that later?
That's like their grand plan.
That's part of their plan. That's part of their plan, right? Because Jasper says, I can get you to Bex Hills because I sell weed to this one cop, and he can let you into Bex Hills. So, like, you break into prison and then make your way to freedom in some kind of weird...
Like, I understand the plan, but, like, that's a horrible plan. No offense.
Well, they missed the other boat. The one that went to the not-prison place.
Again, like, I get it. Like, logically. I understand why it was done for plot reasons, because it's very visceral to see the refugee camp. Mm-hmm. And I think that the movie is greater because we see it.
Yeah.
And I think the movie doesn't work without them going there.
Right.
However, in terms of the way the characters are thinking, that is a horrible plan. And they should have thought of something better.
Yeah. I mean, they are pressed for time. And then the whole thing, like, Julian's dead and we don't know when we're going to get back into contact with these people and... Yada, yada, yada.
Blah, blah, blah. Let me give you some reasons so you have to go to the refugee camp.
Yeah, basically. I mean, I definitely like the whole scene where, like, he's kind of bonding with Jasper and his wife. And, like, I wrote down, like, she says, like, wicked. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. She really is, like, a child. Like.
Yeah.
But anyway, I wrote down ominous wind noises. I don't know.
Neither do I.
Were there ominous wind noises afterwards? Whatever. I did like the little touch of Theo's like London 2012 Olympics Summer Olympics sweatshirt.
Ah,
it's like we're in the future because this movie was shot in 2000. Well, not shot in 2006, but it came out in 2006.
Right.
Because this was, I think, right after they placed their bid and it was accepted. Like he was like, let's throw this little detail in there, like. They still had an Olympics even in this dark time.
Yeah.
Even though the logo is completely different, but hey,
whatever.
I mean, it was 2006. What are you going to do?
I'm
trying to guess.
So then we learn about Julian and Theo's kid, Dylan. And yeah. That, again, because of who I am as a human, scenes with everyone talking and, like, talking about their feelings and, like, getting... symbolic, thematic things out there, those are often scenes that I really enjoy. So I really, really liked that. Not just, like, learning about the background, but, like, the way, the frame of reference that they talked about children and all that other stuff. It just was, like, that was what a lot of the movie was missing for me. Like, this kind of emotional heart. Like, mm-hmm. They gave it in some scenes, like this scene, and they also do it when they are at the school as well. They also kind of elaborate on, you know, what a world without children is. But, like, I wanted more of it.
Yeah.
And, like, again, like, this is...
It's hard to balance it with having all these action scenes and them trying to escape.
Yeah.
Like, you really only get this character development when they actually have time to sit down and breathe and talk.
Yeah.
You know? And those are very few and far between, like, when you get those.
Yeah.
Scenes.
Like, it's so much, it's, yeah, it's just a lot about feeling close to them as characters and in the situation, but not about thinking close to them. You don't really know what's going on in their head a lot of the time.
Yeah. I don't think you feel that distant from them, you know?
I don't know if I feel...
Or do you feel...
I don't know if I felt distant, per se, but you don't really understand the characters' motivations fully. It feels... I don't know, like, more like you're watching them than you're being that person, which I know that was kind of, like, the goal.
Mm.
Am I making any sense? I don't know if I am.
I think so. I think I kind of get what you're saying. To keep going on with this. I wrote down a date. I don't know if this is displayed on the alarm. I think it must have been displayed on the alarm because Jasper has set up a bunch of alarms mm-hmm. around his house so he can know when people are trying to break in. December 6, 2027. So that's where we're at.
Oh, I didn't even catch that.
I caught it because I was looking for it. I was, like, staring at, like, the frames trying to find new details that I hadn't seen before. Global infertility happened in 2009. I think that might have been mentioned in the beginning of the BBC broadcast in the beginning of the movie.
Yeah. The thing that I was wondering was the date that was December 6th, what day was that? Like, what was happening on that day? I mean, I'm sure there's nothing significant about it, but the next day is December 7th. Obviously, that's how dates work. Which is, you know, kind of a big deal in American history.
Oh, like World War II?
Yeah, it was the Pearl Harbor.
Pearl Harbor.
Again, I'm sure that has no significance, and I don't know exactly what happens. I didn't keep track of what time, exactly the sun rising and setting, but...
Well, I wouldn't really know what Pearl Harbor has anything to do with this film.
Yeah, again.
I mean, yes, it's war, but...
No, yeah. It's just, like,
connection.
Certain dates kind of stick out in your mind, and I think that those kind of vary across cultures, but personally, as an American... December 7th is one that just kind of sticks out.
The only thing I see on Wikipedia that's remotely relevant is Eve of the Immaculate Conception.
Interesting.
So, but it says it's the feast.
Let's not get into deep religious...
But whichever. It says on December 8th... Wait, this is the 6th.
It's hard to keep track of the days of the movie.
Yeah. It just feels... I mean, you know it happens within a couple of days.
That she gives birth? Most,
but... Yeah, I'm trying to figure out...
What day did she give birth? Yeah.
So, the alarm goes off on the 6th. They spend... Do they... Okay, the alarm goes off. They escape. They meet the guard. They spend the night... I feel like she gives birth on the 7th. Or maybe the 8th.
One of the two.
Whichever. But I just thought, you know, it was kind of cool seeing, at least seeing what year that this was happening in, trying to get a sense of the time. Certainly no one's celebrating Christmas right now.
Right.
Even though it's December. Yeah, I mean, this whole movie is just like one big suicide mission where people just get picked off one after the other. Like... We end up losing Miriam on the bus later on.
Yeah.
I wrote down, everyone Theo loves is dying in this movie.
Right, exactly. It is like a horror movie where everyone just, like, kicks the bucket one by one.
Yeah.
Personally, I don't really... Okay, for horror movies, it's okay, because you're not supposed to care about the characters. But this one of the problems I had with The Hunger Games, both books and movies, I guess, because it's the same, but... is the themes and the plot trajectory were the same for all of the books. Things kind of happen in the same way. And when you introduce a huge cast of characters and sort of spoiler alerts for The Hunger Games, not really, a little bit, but you kill off a lot of people. I don't think that's a huge spoiler anymore. But a lot of people die in The Hunger Games. But for me personally, when you introduce all these characters and you basically know 100% sure, maybe... 95% sure that 95% of them are going to die, you just don't connect with them the same way.
Yeah, you start not caring.
Right, and I think this movie deals with it the best that it can, but fundamentally...
I do think you care about their death. I mean, I cared about the characters' deaths.
I cared about, like, Jasper's death, but after that, I kind of went, like, oh... Everyone's gonna die, aren't they?
Well, the only other person... There was only two other people after him, which was Miriam and Theo.
Check.
So, I mean, it wasn't too... I feel like even though you were kind of deathed out, like, it was kind of fine. Because we didn't really have any more deaths. We didn't have too many more deaths coming up anyway afterwards. I mean, Julian's was the big one before that, right? I don't know if anyone else... I mean,
didn't the...
Luke? Who cares about Luke?
No, I didn't care about him. What's her name? Marichka?
We don't see her. We do see them bomb the... crap. I kind out of
like
that place,
I thought that she died. Like I
well, yeah, I feel like she was kind of everyone was kind of sacrificing themselves for the greater good.
Yeah.
In this movie.
And okay.
I mean, cuz they had to.
Yeah, no, I get it, but like I was like as soon as anyone significant came across, I was like, "Oh, you dead, son."
We don't see her, like, physically die, but we do see them, like, drop a humongous bomb on the camp, which kind of...
Yeah, I would say she's probably dead.
Yeah. But I thought it was so interesting how when they end up... It was so... It's just so... This movie was so eerie because of the lack of children, man. Like, it was so creepy. Like, when we end up outside of the school and we see all these, like, drawings done by kids.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's, like, the loopy legs. And you're just like, oh, my... It's just so heart-rending. And, like... Like, I thought it was really interesting how there was, like, a dinosaur statue at Silas School, and I was like, humanity also going the way of the dinosaurs, yeah, becoming obsolete. But yeah, just, like, the whole, like, even though children are gone, they just have such a presence in this world, like, they just remind us, like, what's gone and what's been lost. Like, those drawings, man. I mean, that's what kind of killed me in that school scene. And then, like, the whole swing set, keys on the swing set.
Yeah.
And the way she's framed in it, like, she's kind of, I mean, they definitely do a lot with, like, windows mm-hmm. and, like, framing in this movie where people are, like, in boxes or separated from each other. So, like, because, I mean, we see Theo peering through the windows when he's overhearing the fishes talking. But, like, I think the biggest, most obvious one in this scene in the school was Kia sitting on the swing set. And we see her through the window all by herself, and these two other, like, I guess, I'd call them more adult than she is. These two adults are, like, sitting, watching her.
Yeah.
And, I mean, there's literally such an obvious one where she's, like, there's a crack in the window that's shaped like a tear, and she's inside the tear, and it's like, oh. But, like, it was, like, the one pregnant woman in this world, like, the humanity's one hope. Like, it's just so desolate, man, yeah. This movie. I mean, I thought it was good, but, like, you know, it's just so obvious, and maybe you didn't see it.
I don't remember.
Like, but, like, you know, I feel like even if you don't quite pay attention that much and see it, like, in the back of your head, it still, like, gives you that, like, subconsciously, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, oh god, Sid! What did you think of Sid? The cop.
Yeah, he was... I don't know. He was just there.
He was so strange.
He was really weird.
I was like, why is he talking in the third person the entire time?
Like, I don't know why he was written that way. It was so unnecessary.
He just felt like yet another obstacle they had to...
Yeah. Yeah, he just felt like bizarre. This random stoner... guy. I don't...
He wasn't even a stoner. He was just a very, very strange, like, I don't know, sadistic. I mean, he seemed to have a sadistic streak, but not really overtly. So I just was a very strange prison guard.
Yeah, he was just...
Like, he was kind of humorous, but you're also like,
Not really. It's just it's...
It was just very weird. I'm like,
I feel like really he didn't add anything... He was just there.
He was just a way for them to get into the prison camp and then for them to chase him out. But, like...
Yeah.
It was very... I guess they need... I mean, did they really need prompting to leave the... I guess he did prompt them to leave that, like, hovel they were in. But...
I suppose.
He was just really there to move the plot along.
Basically.
But...
Anyway. Oh, wait. Before we move a little bit further, sure. In the school... Sure. That scene, we hear about Miriam and her experiences with, as a midwife, and how many, how the whole crisis kind of began, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, what happens in a world without children's voices? And I don't know, like, the whole thing, it's kind of interesting because... I think we think of parents having a huge say of the way children think, like shaping them with their prejudices and the way they see the world. but this is kind of, you know, bouncing that back, kind of mirroring it the way that children and the way their innocence, you know, affect the parents, I guess. Like, there's, it's almost like there's this darkness as you grow older.
And the world's gotten really dark with that case.
Yeah. And, like, you know, like, there's an innocence in children that reflects back to the people who surround them. Which I feel like you don't, that's not really a theme you see very much when you talk about kids.
Right.
It's much more like the way that parents kind of influence children than the way children influence parents. I mean, like, obviously, like, when you become new parents, like, everything changes, right, and whatever. Right. But, like, I mean, like, further down the road, I mean.
Yeah. No, that's definitely a valid and good point. Like, I mean, this is maybe a little bit more, what I'm going to say is a little more controversial.
Sure. But,
like,
we love controversy.
I think a lot of people do take this view, though, that, like, children are the only reason for living. Like, what else is there to live for? I mean, and yes, I'm not saying, yes, there are plenty of people who don't have kids, and that's fine. Not saying that you need to have kids because your life doesn't have, but a lot of people find meaning in their lives from having a child and taking care of them. Like, because what else? I mean, there's maybe, like, your job and work and things you like, but, like contributing to the world, like,
yeah.
Do you know? I know exactly what you mean. Do you kind of see what I'm getting at? Like, I hope I'm making sense.
No, you're making sense.
And I'm not trying to vilify people who, like, don't have kids or whatever.
No, but there's a societal expectation and a societal impression of what children are, which is the future. And,
right.
I mean, part of that is the way that, you know, culture has influenced the way we think. But it's also... Mm-hmm. A biological, I'm not gonna, yeah, again, like,
I mean, yeah, think about how animals operate. Like, the whole thing about animals do the best they can to have as many children and keep as many of them as alive as possible so they can, like, spread. Like, isn't that the whole, like, that's the whole biological, like, directive of life.
Right, exactly.
Like, just keep trying to spread your progeny, I guess.
Yeah.
It sounds really crude, but, like, that's kind of true. And I feel like that still applies to, like, humans, like, people, like, yeah, without kids, it's like, what's the point? Like, there's nothing, the world is going to end, no one will be here. Like, I have at least one friend who expressed that. She's like, well, without kids, like, what is life without, like, I want to have kids because, like, I need something in my life to, like, fight for and work for and, like, you know, like, I don't know. It was an interesting thing, and I thought that was kind of part of it, too.
Yeah.
You know, like...
It's definitely interesting, especially with a lot of the, kind of the modern themes of overpopulation.
Sure.
I mean, we're not, well, I guess it depends who you talk to, but we're not overpopulated yet, ? But... You know, the fear of overpopulation is one that I think people are very aware of, that, you know, there's a certain carrying capacity of the earth and we may have already passed it.
But there's also the whole, it's very country specific too, because there's other countries that they, like, people aren't having kids and it's like their whole population is getting very elderly and no one can support the elderly, and it's like, that's a huge problem.
Yeah, it's a
too.
Very, developing world versus developed world.
Yes.
But when you look at the world as a whole, I mean, our population is getting quite a bit larger.
Oh, yeah.
So I think it's kind of almost a... what's the word?
Like an inverse?
Yeah, I guess so. It's just... It's a surprising point to make. That,
yeah.
Oh, we're not having children and this is such a problem. Which, I mean, obviously right. It is a problem in this world of children of men, but it's not a problem that we ever really think about because I wouldn't say we have the opposite problem, but I think we're a lot closer to the opposite problem than, you know, having no future population.
Right. That's the great thing about sci-fi, just taking, like, these, like, theoretical kind of situations yeah. and being like, well, what if this happened? And then, like, examining, like, the social consequences and whatever.
Yeah.
The Bex Hills place, I don't quite get it. Like, it's a refugee camp, but somehow everyone inside seems to have guns. How do these people have guns? Like, we see much later on, after Key gives birth and they're trying to escape to the like water sanitation place, like there's a whole bunch of protesters with guns. Like, what is going on? How did they get these guns? And how are they not, like, breaking out, escaping, and doing their thing? Like, so insane to me. But, I get the whole other point of it. Like, people are living in horrible conditions and, you know, in, like, basically kind of, like, ghettos. And I get that part of it, you know? But the whole gun thing was a little bit weird to me. I don't know if that was weird to you.
The social expectations of the refugee camp were very confusing because when they were going in, it was very reminiscent of the Holocaust imagery.
Right. Slash a very confused airport where people are holding up pictures of... Sorry, that's horrible.
That's horrible, but I laughed, so that makes me horrible as well. But... you know, or other genocides, but specifically Holocaust, I think. It kind of was reminiscent of that kind of stuff. And then you get inside of the refugee camp and your expectations are a little funky. It was, like, the environment inside it, I don't understand how that works on a day-to-day basis.
Right.
Like, how they are living, exactly.
We're not there long enough to understand.
Right.
It's so periphery.
Yeah. There are a lot of places in this movie that are really set up as being very detailed and very elaborate visually. But, like, when you think about it, you don't know exactly how it works. I don't know if you need to, but you don't really know.
Yeah. Definitely we're getting all of the whole Muslim extremism thing. We have, like, Arabic on the walls and, like, people protesting are talking about Allah and, like, etc.
Yeah.
We finally find this woman who takes him to a safe location, and she has a little dog of her own who's, like, super adorable. The animals love Theo. You know, when animals love the main character, you know it's a good character. It doesn't even matter if he's, like, I don't know, like, threw a rock at someone's head. Like,
unless it's an evil cat.
Sure. But yeah, all the dogs love Theo, so we know we know for sure he's a good guy once you get all these animals crowding around him. I thought it was funny, like, how his alcoholism kindly helped out because he had something to sterilize his hands with.
Throwback to, like, his alcoholism. Like, I liked that so much.
He just had it to sterilize his hands. People really, really hated the CGI baby. From what I heard online, people really hated the CGI baby. I thought it wasn't great, but I kind of just accepted it as, let's pretend this is a better looking baby and move on.
That's kind of exactly the way I thought of it. I was just like, the film has done so much to immerse myself in this world. I will not let poor CGI exit, like, you know, take me out of it. I will just ignore it.
Yeah, I'm like, this is like, we're probably never gonna see this baby up close again. So let's just leave it there. I saw people were waving around the French flag in the protest.
Yeah, I was like
Les Miserables.
That's nice. I kept thinking about how, you know, England and France have been enemies since, like, forever. And I was just like, of course they would use a situation like this to become English versus French again. Because I believe it.
Oh my gosh. I wrote down, music just got real, expletive. So, I wonder what's going on, like, when did this happen? So, this is after... So, I know in the storyline, we're at the next safe house in, according to the credits, I think they're Georgian people.
All right.
There's a Georgian man and Georgian woman. I don't know why I thought they were Polish. I can't really differentiate between European languages, so my bad. But I believe they're in a Georgian woman's house. And I just said music got real. Music just got real. So I guess something... There's not too much music in this movie, which kind of leads more to the documentary feel of it. Like, there are music cues from time to time, but... I mean, your typical American movie has a lot... And this is also not an American movie. But your typical... Your typical Western movie, or what I guess I'm used to seeing, is, like, there's a lot of music in the soundtracks. I don't know if you've noticed this, Melissa. Maybe you haven't. I mean, I've just been exposed to a wide variety of films. And it also depends on the culture, too.
I don't think I've been exposed to enough movies to have an opinion on this.
Yeah. It comes from my viewpoint, being able to see... watch different movies from different cultures and notice how much music they use in their movies. And I know this is an American film. This is a British film, but it's close enough to America that, like, culturally that, like, there's some similarities. There's really not that much music in this movie. And so when the music comes in, you know, something's about to go down. Like, so that's what I wrote down. I'm just trying to piece what happened between them being in the safe house and then them leaving. Did something, because it's not like Sid showed up. Sid's dead, or at least taken care of. Was there bombing or something going on, and they must have run out of the house then? Something happened to, you know, make them leave the safe house. And I think the music also changed or shifted at that point. Anyway, sorry, I couldn't be more specific. So they're fleeing. They're trying to get to the boat. Finally trying to get to the boat. Because they, like, made it out. And then I think, like, very conveniently, Theo finds some kind of charred stick and, like, is able to draw a boat to show to, like, Marika where they want to go. So there, again, we get another long set of, like, long shots of them running around this, like, war-torn city. It's so weird, because, like, the Bexhill place does not look, it looks like a city, right? It doesn't really look like a refuge, what you'd expect a refugee camp to look like.
Yeah, that's why, thinking of it more like a ghetto.
Yeah, it just seems more like a ghetto than a refugee camp, even though it's called a refugee camp.
But, I mean...
It was just very strange.
It isn't...
Yeah, I mean, they just don't really explain.
Our expectations of what a refugee camp is are malleable.
Yeah. Also kind of makes me wonder, like, is this what they actually look like? Is this what a refugee camp could actually look like? Because, like, I just don't have enough experience, like, reading about refugee camps or learning about them to know. There's another long shot where we're running through. The fishes come out of nowhere and start attacking, which is super annoying and disappointing. But I guess it makes sense. Oh, right, that's what prompts it. They're in the safe house. Everyone's playing with the baby, giving it, like, orange slices or whatever. And then, like, we hear a humongous bomb go off. And that's the fishes coming in to get the baby. That's what was happening.
Classic.
Sorry, guys. I got really confused. I was like, something prompted them to leave, but I can't remember what. It was the fishes blowing up a side of the wall, I guess, into the refugee camp, and then they broke in, which is why the military showed up. So they're running around trying to get away. And then, you know, they run towards the entrance to the boat area. All the fishes come and start attacking, and, you know, they drag Key away and the baby away, and somehow Theo manages to find them later. And even though, and they all get separated from, like, Marika, but they found her later too, just like the way movies work.
Yep.
And, you know, like, there's that great shot where Theo's just running through the streets and through the apartment building, and there's just, like, blood on the screen.
Yeah.
So apparently that was, like, a mistake, but, like, it worked out really well. So they had to, like, digitally add in the blood spatter, like, later again, because, like, it, like, went off the screen or something. But, like, it happened by accident, but they really liked it, so it, like...
It worked.
They put it in, yeah. I mean, yeah, it was so crazy just seeing, like, all these people hiding everywhere, and, like, all these people were, like, in this bus that looked super abandoned, and just, like... I mean, everyone's speaking different languages. There's people speaking Mandarin, Chinese, and other people, you know, speaking in other European languages. And it was just, like, crazy chaos. And then we finally get back to Ki in the apartment building, which has, like, chickens all over it and everything. Again, with the animals.
Yeah.
We finally get to Ki. And, like, Luke gets to do his little one-liner before he dies or whatever. Patrick has just run out of the building, is gone, I think. Even though he's, like, a death wish against, like, Theo.
Yeah.
And, again, kind of ripping from my, my lecture. it's really interesting how, like, the baby starts crying and everyone just goes silent. And it's just like, oh my god. I was frankly surprised that no one from the military tried to swipe this baby out. But, again, suspension of disbelief. But, like, everyone went quiet and was just so, like, reverential and, like, just shocked. And it's just really funny how you compare that to, like, just everyday life. How if a baby starts crying in a public place, everyone gets really annoyed and really hates the baby and the parent. It's just such a, it's such a contrast because it's, like, no one's heard a baby in, like, 18 years. And it's just, like, the reaction is so different. And it's really interesting to see, like, you know, the baby's crying for attention and we find it annoying. But, like, in a world where there are no children, it's like, oh my god, like, the reaction is so different. It's just so fascinating.
Yeah, that's...
I don't know.
Yeah, that's an interesting contrast. It's just, like, when babies cry, it's so... I don't know, like, not animalistic. That's not the right word. But it's so...
visceral.
Yeah. It's just, I mean, it's supposed to evoke something inside of you as a person, biologically.
Yeah.
And it definitely does. It works.
It worked.
Good job.
And it's just, everything just went quiet and everything. And, like, just, everyone just, again, people, the camera looking at something.
Yeah.
Like, everyone's looking at the baby. We already know what the baby looks like. It looks like a horrible CGI baby, so I think we don't have to look at it. But everyone, I mean, that fact aside, like, just seeing everyone reacting to this baby just existing was just so, it just killed me.
It's, you know,
and, you know,
it's all about, like, that thing. It's like, you know, they've been so divided, like, the, you know, the British citizens versus, you know, the refugees and everyone else, but it's, and this is just this kid who's basically a refugee, but it's just like how their humanity is greater than their national status. Funny. Yeah.
And then, you know, like, all the whole life death juxtaposition, like, this baby's alive and there are, like, hundreds of people dying around her in horrible fashion. I mean, very conveniently, a path forms for them once they start leaving. Like, you know, the soldiers radio that, you know, like, clear a path and, like, end up going through that path very conveniently. And then Marika finds them. They go to the boat area. I mean, somehow, I mean, the graffiti inside that water treatment plant looks like old cave art to me, which I thought was a very kind of brilliant kind of connection. I don't know if you thought it looked like cave art. I thought it looked like cave art.
I thought it did, actually. It's kind of like a tie back
to the beginning.
yeah, exactly. It's all cyclical.
And yeah, and, like, so they, you know, they make it, they row out,
and they leave Marichka. Theo's
been gravely injured or whatever. And, you know, he passes away, and then Ki says she'll name her baby Dylan. Which is very, you know, like, oh, like your heart. But also, I looked it up because everything has a special meaning. And Dylan means, is related to waves. And I was like, oh, I see what you did there.
Of course it is.
And even Theo's last name, it's like Farron or something. It's like a lighthouse, like, whatever the, I'm sure, like, you know, like Farron or Pharaoh or something to do with light or lighthouses. He's, like, the guiding light or whatever. So, I have to look it up, because I know I read this somewhere. But, you know, Names are always important in literature and film.
Okay, so when I finished it, I was like, okay, Theo's dead, right?
Theo's dead.
According to the Wikipedia article, it just says he loses consciousness.
He's dead.
I mean, that's what I thought.
He's not he's dead. Like, everyone sacrificed their lives to get this baby to the human project. He's dead. Like, there's no way he's alive. It doesn't make sense. What is he going to do? Join them on the boat? Like, it's not happening.
I'm on a boat, and...
it's going fast. No, he's totally dead.
I think
there's
that's...
no way.
So, like, okay. So they're sitting in the boat, right? And you've got Theo, you've got Key, and you've got baby Dylan, right? And you don't know if the human project is going to come and get them, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're just chilling on the boat at the right meeting spot, and you're just hoping that this hasn't been a fool's errand.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just thinking, like, I genuinely did not know what was going to happen.
Right.
And it just struck me, and there are movies like that, like, if, depending on that ending, the message of the movie changes drastically.
Oh, yeah.
If no one came, it is just like a testament to the hopelessness and despair and all that other fun stuff. But they did come, and that's nice, and I personally like that ending better, but it could have ended with nothing and been a drastically different movie.
Oh, yeah. But they did leave it very open-ended, although the thing was, I feel like they implied that the human project worked and they were able to save humanity, because we do get all those children, playing in voices at the very end.
Yeah.
In the credit sequence. I don't know if you got the credit sequence when you watched it. Did you get the credit sequence?
I did not.
Okay, so in the credit sequence, it cuts to black and we hear all these children, playing and screaming. So it seems to imply that things ended up okay, although they never confirm it, in the movie. They just kind of imply that it all worked out. I don't know what... You didn't see the credit sequence, so what did you think?
I definitely thought it all worked out. I thought if the boat hadn't come, it wouldn't have worked out. But...
Sure.
The fact that they made it through everything that they did, and they made it to the boat, I think that implies happiness, and maybe it doesn't. Maybe it... it could totally be still pointless, and they have one baby, and that baby's gonna be around by itself, but I don't think that's the direction it was going in.
Yeah. But, yeah, like, this movie does end optimistically, and for that I'm glad, because I don't know what I would have done with myself if it ended badly. Like, I just would have been like, oh no, the world is over! Like, I would have been devastated. I mean, this movie was already pretty devastating.
It was. But I wouldn't say the ending was hopeful, exactly, because everyone dies, but it was hopeful.
It's just one of those weird movies that just walks the line.
Yeah.
Like,
that's why, like, I completely could have seen the ending either way. Like, it could have been, like, an ending with, like, a darkness,
Yeah.
Where it's just, like, a testament to the improbability of hope.
But I mean,
it wasn't.
I'm glad that you like, I mean, even though you're kind of not sure, like, you kind of more or less like the film. Like,
it's a movie that I'm glad I saw. I don't know if I liked it in the clinical sense of liking things, but
the clinical
sense. But it was not a horrible experience. I don't know.
You don't have to like it. It's all good.
It's like, I appreciated it for what it was, but I don't want to say that I liked it.
Okay.
I think that's the best way to put it.
Yeah. For me, like, right after I watched it, it immediately became my favorite sci-fi film my favorite movie, were one of my favorite movies. But then, like, upon rewatching it, yeah, it falls apart a little bit.
It's very well renowned. Like, I was looking it up, and, like, people put on, like, their best movies of the decade and best movies ever.
I think it's a very impactful film, and I think it is underrated.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Do I think it stands up to repeat watching? For some people it does. For me, I'm not quite sure. I mean, just the level of detail and, like, the ideas that are brought up in this movie, I really like. And I still would say that it is a favorite movie, but I don't know if it's... Because it's so intense, I don't know how enjoyable it is.
Yeah, you know? That's fair.
But I do really appreciate the art and the ideas in this movie. And I appreciate how they were expressed. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's just so interesting seeing, like, a, like, worse version of London since I've lived there. It's kind of, like, interesting making parallels. I don't know. Like, I really, really liked it after I watched it the first time. And upon seeing it the second time, I'm a little bit more subdued. So, yeah, I don't know how I feel about it either. Because I feel like my expectations were so raised from the last time. Yeah. But
that's why I hate watching, like, a lot of my favorite, like, shows and TV or and movies and whatever. Like, as soon as I decide, like, it's one of my favorites, I never want to watch it again because I want to, like, solidify its presence as my favorite and never ruin it.
Yeah. I mean, to me, rewatchability is always good. I just feel like for me personally, it kind of boils down to there's some movies where the more you watch it, the better it gets.
Yeah.
And there's some movies, the second time you watch it, it just feels not as good as the first time, which is the case with this movie. And there's some that is falling between. Like, yeah. They're kind of just the same.
I feel like on some levels, it probably works better as a rewatch movie because of the detail, because of, you know, the intricacies of the sets and the world that they created. But fundamentally, in my opinion, the characterization and the plot fall short. And yeah. I think those weaknesses would be exposed even greater if I watched it again.
That's what I mean. When I rewatched it, I just felt like the development wasn't there. And it's not like the first time I watched it, I was looking for development. I was just kind of along for the ride, as it were.
Yeah.
So, I think that was, like, maybe... As much as I like this film and I think it's, like, a strong film, that was maybe something that I felt like it needed a bit more of. But yeah, Children of Men, good stuff.
Good stuff.
I feel like Children of Men is, like, the most serious you can get, pretty much. So anything we do after this is going to be...
Relatively lighthearted.
More lighthearted. So, yeah.
Well, by the time this comes out, we'll have figured it out.
True. And yeah, just... Hit us up on Facebook or Tumblr or Twitter, whatever you use, whatever social media you use.
Or all of them.
Or all of them if you want.
Like some of us.
And yeah, we'll see you later.
Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.